Jesus wept. It is in verse 35 of our text today. It is the shortest verse in the Bible, and it's popular among Sunday school children who are trying to pad their stats with Bible memorization games. It's only two words. It's only three syllables. Jesus wept. It is also, in its simplicity and in those simple words, is a profound theological statement as well. It says that death hurts even for Jesus. Jesus was sent word that his friend Lazarus has died. He gets to their home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary comes out and she just lays it out for him. She said, "If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Then he asks, "Where has he been laid to rest?" And they say, "Come and see." And they take him to the outside of the tomb. Jesus is moved to tears outside that tomb. We hear twice that he is greatly disturbed, deeply moved, and he weeps. And it is a time that when we are deeply moved, greatly disturbed, when we are sad, and when we're hurting, and we're missing our loved ones, that we do weep. Sometimes I find it a little bit interesting how sometimes we are okay with other people weeping around us, but it's the one who feels so vulnerable that is the one who weeps, that feels like, "No, I shouldn't do this. No, this is, I'm sorry." They will apologize for crying in front of you. And I say, "Call, when else are you more justified to cry?" It's okay to be vulnerable and express your grief. If you don't express it, it sometimes will come out very sideways. The fact that Jesus weeps means that he understands our despair. He understands also this, that he is not to take away death, that he will not take away death, that he cannot take away death in our lives. It is part of how we are created. We are born, we live, and yes, we die. Oh, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to have that be a part of their lives. We all want to escape it as much as we can. But it is the truth that Jesus does not, cannot take away death. We are to do this. Despite all of that, our grief and loss are real, and they are heartbreaking to the Lord. And the Lord goes through it too. The Lord does not want us to pretend that life isn't hard or loss doesn't hurt. Or maybe we should put that in more positive terms. God wants us to acknowledge and to feel and to express that life is hard. And loss does hurt very much. Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters. He felt their pain. It's interesting, he isn't just perfect in his righteousness, as we know, but he is also perfect in his empathy. He doesn't stand apart from them. He doesn't stand apart from this moment, from the part that hurts and that he has been greatly disturbed by, but he enters into their sorrow. He doesn't go away to a place to pray by himself, but he shows up and he stays there and he is with them through the whole thing. He does it publicly. He enters into this sad and devastating reality of death, and he does this not only outside of the tomb of Lazarus, but he does this daily in our lives. Moment by moment, Jesus is in the midst of all of that. Showing up and not hiding is one of the beautiful and helpful things about this story for us as modern-day people. That mourning is public. because we live in a culture where grief is supposed to be private, or at least the extended grief is to be private. We will allow people to grieve okay for a while, but then we don't want to see it anymore. We give such a short time for it to be acceptable to share our grief. But in that time, in that ancient day, mourning was such a part of community. It was a part of life. Mourning and celebration were hand in hand. They did both communally. People, we all have our own way that we grieve. That's one of the number one things we say, is that grief is individual. No two people probably grieve the same way. Even if it is the same loss, a lot of times we all have our way. Is there a right way and a wrong way? No. Is there a helpful way? Yeah. But we all need to go through it. Having a shared experience, it's like innate in us. When we know that somebody has died and we have had that relationship with them, it is like a compulsion for us to gather with people who also know that person, to be able to share stories, to be able to say, yes, I know them too. Yes, I love them too. Yes, I miss them too. It is a necessity for us to gather and to be together in our grief. And it is also the fact that inviting others into our suffering, being vulnerable and being there and opening ourselves up, being there for others when they open themselves up, it transforms our pain. We carry it around, and sometimes we think we just have to muscle through it. We will get through it on our own. It will be okay. But you are carrying a heavy burden, and it is hard. So what happens if you share? What happens if I say, oh, I miss my mom? If I say that, I know for certain that there is somebody listening to me who also misses their mom. Or what if it's your spouse, your friend, your parent, your child? When we open ourselves up, then we are not just muscling through, but we are sharing this with one another. The burden then is spread out. The burden then is in the community, which we know that we, when we show up for one another, we can carry so much more than what we do alone. That's why grief support is vital to a journey. You find a person who knows what it's like. It's not the same story. It's not exactly the same, but there are so many similarities. And just to know that you are not the only one going through what you are going through, but that you, what you go through is actually universal. And that our Lord and Savior himself went through it too. Jesus not only understands what we're going through, but he hurts along with us and encourages us to share our heartache with one another. And that's when we start to heal. He embodies the resurrection power. Jesus embodies the resurrection power. It is through his life, death, and resurrection that we share that. We share in his life. We are born and we are named and claimed. We live in a share of Jesus' life where we too are followers of Jesus, where we too learn and we seek and we strive to be the followers of Jesus, where we are helping one another and serving one another and accepting one another and showing love with one another. Jesus has us in life and in death. That's not where we stop. It is never where we stop. Yes, it happens. Stories promise endings, and too often death brings relationships to a stop without that closure of an ending. But Jesus then gives us a new life, a life eternal, so that when we are called again, just like he showed us in this story of Lazarus, this is his last sign before he goes to be crucified and resurrected. He shows the people there the glimpse of the kingdom that is to come. He says to Lazarus, he names him, "Lazarus, come out." And sure enough, he is alive. So the promise of the resurrection and mourning with one another reminds us that our stories continue to unfold in mysterious ways even after death. God shows up in the messiness of our loss and mourning. God's love carries us through the loneliness and fear, and we hold on to and we cling to the promise that our names will be called once again, and we will be home. Amen.